by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to In Your Backyard. I do want to say it's a lovely day here in Florida, but it's a little rainy. It's a good Scottish cup of tea day, and the rain is going to subside by tomorrow. But this gives us our water that we need for our landscapes all in 2 days. We don't need to irrigate, so that's a really good thing. But I'm just kind of holding on to the cooler temperatures, and we are going to have cooler temperatures over the next 2 days. There's going to be about the 50s in Orlando, 40s here in Lake County, and over near Sumter County and further up north, you're going to be in the 30s. Ocala, you're going to be mid-30s. But I don't see very, very good chance of having a heavy freeze. So we're going to be okay in the landscape. And this is going to give us just a little bit of good memories to end March with before we get into our heavy, hot temperatures that are going to be coming soon. So I'm going to enjoy it. I look better in sweaters anyway. So I love this type of change in the seasons, change in the climate as far as the weather goes. So I'm going to enjoy the next 2 days. How about you? 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. My name is Teresa Watkins. I am a landscape designer, a horticulturist, a garden author, and environmental consultant. And I do say that I enjoyed this weekend. I got to participate and give a talk on growing roses in Florida. And yes, I do promise you a rose garden if you do grow them when you listen to my presentation and workshop. And so this weekend, the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Club had a wonderful 14th annual garden fair, and it was very well received and attended. I got to see a lot of great friends, some of them from my old days at UF and working with the counties. I saw Seminole County Water Conservation there with Debbie Meinert and Becky. It was good to see them. And you know what? It's good to know that they're still out educating about water conservation. And even though it seems like we've gotten a lot this last couple of years, we don't need to be wasting it. And so I was glad to see them out and about. And then also Nate from Home Depot, I used to work with him, and it was great to see him. Lots of vendors there, lots of great plants. Although I do have to admit that anyone selling delphiniums this time of the year here in Florida, not necessarily a good option for your landscape. They are beautiful, but all of our winter annuals, it's time to put them away for the season and not purchase them anymore. You know, we're going to be starting to, after the next 2 days, going back up into the temperatures, the temperatures are not going to allow the cool season annuals that we were planting in November, December, January, and even February to last very long. So you want to make good decisions when you go to a nursery and make sure that even though they look beautiful, how long are they going to last? When you're buying annuals, that's a big question. Because I see sunflowers being sold in November and December. And yes, if we have a warm winter, they'll last a little bit longer. But also, too, pansies and delphiniums, stock, alyssum, you know, they're not going to last as long. So if you have a big party, a big event, and you want to have it looking spectacular with lots of color and lots of annuals and flowers, go ahead and get them. It's not going to be an investment. It's going to be, you know, the cost of the party. And so, you know, you can go ahead and plant them, but don't expect them to last more than another month or so. I would start looking at the summer annuals, and they're starting to come out now. Even though it's still spring here, we want to think about the next 6 months. And annuals should last us at least 6 months to even longer. You know, sometimes our marigolds, when we're starting to plant them now, they will bloom all the way in through one of the very first freezes that we get in December and January. So start thinking about summertime and putting in plants now that can handle the warmer temperatures, can handle the rainfall a lot of our winter annuals don't like the humidity and the rain that they're getting in the summertime, and that just leads to disease and, you know, one of the reasons they start to decline. Okay, so also too, roses are doing spectacular right now. You know, we are getting enough rainfall. It's a good time of the year. You want to make sure that you're looking at the leaves when you are, you know, maintaining them, walking through your garden. You want to make sure you get rid of any rose leaves that have the black spot on it. That's very important, you know, because when the leaves fall, because they will fall off because they're declining with the disease, then you're going to spread that disease to other roses. So you don't want to do that. So make sure that you're taking them off of the plant, putting them into a little garbage bag or a little can, a little basket, whatever you're doing, and throw them away. Don't leave them on the ground. In your rose garden, you need to be very, very clean. And that's important. Now, also too, any equipment that you use, you want to sterilize your equipment, your scissors, your pruners, your secateurs, anything that you're using to cut roses and it has the black spot on it. Make sure that before you go to the next shrub, okay, or rose plant that you have, that you have sterilized with either rubbing alcohol, bleach, or also you can use hydrogen peroxide. So one of those things. So what I usually do is I usually carry a sprayer with me that has one of those ingredients in it. And I usually just have bleach around. I don't necessarily go out and buy hydrogen peroxide. We used to do that with our earrings, remember? We used to pierce our ears and we used to have a bottle of hydrogen peroxide. But so the bleach and is always at our house. So I usually use that. Now, you don't want to dilute it necessarily, but you want to make sure that when you spray it, you're not spraying it towards your clothes or towards anything that the bleach will, you know, spot or, you know, spray. So the wind has a little bit of effect there. So make sure you're just spraying it in the right direction. Spray it on the tool, wipe it off with a paper towel, and then you can head to your next shrub. Also, too, look at the bottom of the graft. Roses are always grafted. They're grafted on Fortuniana rootstock. That's very important. Fortuniana rootstock is nematode resistant. It's also good for Florida weather. So you were looking for roses that have that Fortuniana rootstock. But sometimes, especially when the weather's good, the graft at the bottom of the rose bush will send out suckers. And these suckers are very easy to identify. You want to look for leaves that are very bright green, that have a little bit less thorns or bigger thorns on them than your rose bush. And then also that are kind of elliptical. They don't look like regular rose petals, rose leaves. They don't look like it. They're very triangular shaped, elliptical shaped, and they grow in groups of three. Now, if you see that coming from the graft, cut it off. Okay, now this is going to take away, if you don't cut it off, it's going to take away from the rose nutrition. It's going to be competition for it, and it's just going to keep getting bigger. These suckers can get to be 10 foot long very easy. So here's what I like to do. The Fortuniana rose is a beautiful little white rose, and if you want to go ahead and cut off that sucker and root that rootstock, okay, go ahead and do it. Try and do that. And you'll get a lovely little rose bush that has really thick thorns on it, but it has a pretty little rose flower that will bloom once a year. Okay. So other than that, you want to use a fertilizer on a regular basis so that it gets the nutrition it needs, especially here in Florida's sandy soils. Sunnyland Rose Fertilizer is good for that too as well. So we're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors. Brooke Moffis is going to be with us at the bottom of the half hour. She was supposed to be here last week, but she had an adventure and couldn't make it. So she's here this week. We're going to learn about nematodes. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. You're listening to Real Country AM 790 WLBE, Teresa Watkins in your backyard.
Someone warmed them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Huh? Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All-Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All-Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. Roll by roll. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. This is also the time of the year that we are going to start seeing chinch bugs start taking over. And you want to prevent that. If you have had chinch bug problem in the past, you don't need to do it. If you've never had chinch bugs, that's a good sign that you're taking care of your lawn properly. But if you always get chinch bugs, you want to make sure that you've applied a chinch bug pesticide before the middle of the month. Okay, mid-month is when we start to see the activity, and you want to do it before you see it. So Sunnyland has a really good product. It's a 20-pound bag of ready-to-use chinch bug granules that's going to control chinch bugs and 100 other insects. Okay, these are lawn insects that are all over the state of Florida. So you're wanting to use that product. The granules kill the bugs on contact, and it lasts for up to 4 weeks. So one application is all you need. It covers 10,000 square feet, and it's safe to use around pets. You want to use Sunnyland products. They are safe, professional, and all natural. So look for that in your the box stores, at Simon Seed, and every other nursery that you shop at. They will be carrying Florida's fertilizer, Sunnyland. So you want to look for that. 787-9523 if you're in the garden area. We can talk about what's going on in your backyard. Also, too, this is the time of the year you want to look for. You walk your yards on a regular basis, check your irrigation system, but also, too, you're going to want to rake out these brown blades that, if you've had any winter damage at all, you're going to start seeing it. Now, today on the way here, I saw that there was landscapers out mowing the lawn. If you cannot mow the grass today when it's wet, or tomorrow, save it for Thursday and Friday. That's going to be better for your grass. You don't want to mow the lawn when it is wet, because the grass blades are going to be heavy with the moisture, and they're going to be down. You're not going to get a really good cut. And so, it's better to go ahead and do it at Thursday, Friday, or over the weekend if you can. Let's go to Claremont. I have Marie. She is on the air. Good afternoon, Marie. You're on the air with Teresa in your backyard.
Hi, Teresa, my professor.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
I need to know that Trinity Garden Club.
Yes.
Is looking forward to your club clinic with our five communities.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The country.
I love talking to all the different Trilogy resorts in the country, and it always makes for a fun discussion. So thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, Marie. Thank you so much. Marie is in charge of the president of the Trilogy Garden Club. And, garden clubs are really a wonderful resource for you. If you are new to the state, men and women can join garden clubs. And just check out in your area. You can Google your city and garden club, and there will be so many come up. I know Mount Dora has several. Leesburg has several. and in the Orlando area, we have some wonderful groups. The Orlando Garden Group is wonderful. And so if you are looking for a good resource to find out knowledge, go ahead and join a garden club here in Florida and across the country. You will learn so much, and they have so many great programs that are fun, and lots of different events that they have going on, like the Sweetwater Oaks Garden Fair. So you're going to have a really good chance to participate and learn about gardening here in Florida and across the country. Let's go to my favorite nursery. And Simon Seeds Nursery has been around for a long time. Family owned and operated with Blondine Galbraith. And good afternoon, Blondine. Are you staying dry?
The what?
Are you staying dry?
Oh, yeah.
It's Mango is not anywhere. He's inside, isn't he?
He's inside. It was a little chilly this morning, so he's inside.
Well, what's going on at Simon Seeds Nursery today?
Well, let me see. We're waiting for this cold spell to pass, and we're, you know, gearing up for the spring. I mean, we're here. We're at this time of year where, you know, it's time to spruce up the garden and the flower beds and fertilize the lawn and fertilize the trees.
March is when we get to start doing everything. I mean, growing vegetables, growing fruits. Do you have any fruit trees still left?
We do. We still have, let me see, we still have some blueberries.
Wonderful.
And we still have a few figs and a few apple trees, and I think we're all done with the peaches. Oh, we still have olive trees.
That is wonderful. You know, that's a real big surprise when I tell people that olive trees do very well here.
They do.
And you actually get real olives off of the tree.
Absolutely.
So you do have them, and what size are they in?
They're in, you know, they're a big 3 gallon. They're almost a 5 gallon.
A 5 gallon, yeah, that's a good size.
Really, really nice. They're about 4.5 foot tall, and they're really healthy looking. And the blueberries, by the way, are full of blueberries. We've been watching them go from the bloom set to the berries.
To the berries. I was noticing today on the side of the road there was the blueberry farm that I passed, and it looked like all the blue was there.
Yes.
So it's a great time, and you know, blueberries are very good. You know, you're supposed to eat a cup of blueberries every day.
Yes, has a lot of good antioxidants.
That it is, stuff. And so you have to grow your own. And if not, Publix had a really good sale last week. But it's so much easier to grow your own.
Yes, and they're easy to freeze, and so yeah, they're great all around. Let's see, we have azaleas coming in, new shipment tomorrow, so we'll have a lot of color. Right now I've got some of the red ruffle in the fashions.
And those are blooming beautifully right now.
They are. Geraniums are beautiful right now. We have the pink, the red, and the white. And, you know, it's the time of year for them. We also have ivy geraniums, which we don't get very often.
No, and I love those. They make great hanging baskets.
They do.
Or
they
in containers,
do.
Yes.
And I've got some beautiful tomatoes in 6-inch pot, which means some of those are actually have little fruits and lots of blooms on them.
Oh, great.
We have a temporary shortage of the small plants until we get a delivery because everybody wanted to plant a garden last weekend.
Well, that's wonderful, though. That is good. You know, people need to hop on it because, you know, this March is really good. We got still the cooler temperatures. When we start in April and May, it starts to get warmer and it's harder to grow tomatoes.
It is. Seeds are in full swing, so you know if you need your bean seeds and all that, and corn, we have all that. The some of the southern pea seeds are short this summer, or this season, I should say. Like cream eights are not going to be available. Zipper cream, we had a little bit of them; they're now all gone for the season. So it's going to put some pressure on the other varieties. So
sure.
If you're going to grow them, you probably should go ahead and get your seeds.
Right. No, that's important because, I mean, you know, when you get around to doing it, if they're not available, then you're kind of stuck.
Right. Yes. And these are heirloom seeds. And unfortunately, some of these are getting harder and harder to secure, you know.
Sure.
So anyway, we've also got some great hanging baskets. We have some of the wave petunias and some of the combos that have verbena and geranium and different things in
them. Oh, I bet that's very pretty.
It is.
Everybody loved your Facebook post last week with the petunias on it. I saw there was a lot of interest in that.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, let's see what else. Grass seed is still a little bit early. We're getting a lot of requests right now, but I'm telling people to hold off a little.
Okay.
Because, you know, your bahia is really not going to germinate very rapidly with this weather.
No. Wait a couple of weeks when it starts to warm up.
We still got the rye. We still got onion sets also. Anybody wants to grow scallions, we have... you'll have a good selection of that.
The day is not done until I've had onions. So scallions are a perfect way to do that.
Oh, yeah. You can plant them for quite a while yet. So, again, fertilizer-wise, you know, if you're thinking about fertilizer, we do carry the Sunny Land.
Yes.
In all the different sizes. And we also carry Espoma if you want to go with an organic. And we have the worm casting, which I really love, which come from Tampa, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great.
And earth boxes, for those folks that don't have the space for a garden, consider earth boxes. They're a great way to grow some tomatoes and peppers.
And what I like about them is that they are self-watering. And you can leave them for a week if you're down, you know, if you have to go away or you have a trip. You don't have to worry about it getting watered correctly because you have the ability to self-water while you're gone.
Exactly. They also, an accessory of them is also the stand for folks that don't want to bend down. I mean, you can put them in the stand, and then you put wheels on the stand. So very versatile that way.
Good for a patio.
Good for a patio. And also there's a staking system if you want to, you know, stake some tomatoes and such.
Sure. I mean, because we could be planting sweet potatoes right now.
Yes, we could.
So that's great. All right, Blondine, tell everybody where you're located in beautiful Leesburg. And do you have any events coming up?
We have the art festival is coming up this weekend.
Oh, this weekend. Great. Where is that going to be?
Downtown Leesburg.
Excellent. And it's going to be...
Great art festival, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, down on Main Street there.
On Main Street, yes, going all from the library all the way to probably 9th. And then the following weekend, we have a barbecue contest or whatever.
A barbecue contest? I could
something.
Be a judge.
I don't know.
I would
pay $5 and eat all the barbecue you want or something. I don't know.
I think that's a deal. That's great.
Yeah, it is.
That's wonderful. Okay, where are you located, Blondie?
So we're located downtown Leesburg on Magnolia Street at the corner of Magnolia and First, right next to the police station. We're open from 8 till 5:30 Monday through Friday, 8 till 1 on Saturday. And you can give us a call at 787-4415.
Thank you, Blondine. Stay dry.
Thank you.
All
okay.
right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you haven't been to Simon Seeds Nurseries, it's a wonderful treat to go by. The real wood floors, you got mango, and you've got dogs, and you've got chickens, and it's just a wonderful place to visit and get all of the plants that you need for your landscape. So just real quickly, there's things to do in the garden. This is all about vegetable and fruit care this month. All right, so you're going to want to make sure that your bananas, that you cut off all of the dead leaves from the wintertime, and if they have already fruited, go ahead and cut them down to the ground. You want to make sure you're fertilizing your citrus trees this month. Lots of bloom. The Meyer's lemons are going crazy right now. They look wonderful. Then also, too, you want to make sure that the grapes, if you have grape plants, okay, a grape arbor, and you haven't cut them back yet, do it now, okay? They're going to start flowering in the next few weeks. Go ahead and cut them back now and make sure that you're going to get the harvest that you deserve. And that means cutting them back. The more you cut them back right now, the better they're off they're going to be. And the University of Florida has a great grape production, how to take care of your grapes. Call your local master garden office, your local extension office, and they can send it to you. Or you can just Google UF EDIS, EDIS, and grapes, and it will come up. You want to make sure you take advantage of all the knowledge that the Extension Office, the Master Gardener Clinics provide for the state of Florida and across the country. Stay tuned. You're listening to Real Country AM 790 WLBE. We have Extension Agent Brooke Moffis from the Lake County Extension Office, and we're going to be talking about icky worms, nematodes. Stay tuned. Someone warmed them from below till the rain comes. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. Teresa Watkins here. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, environmental consultant, and I love helping people with their yards. You know, the Extension Office, the Lake County Master Gardener Extension Office, they love to help people take care of their yards too. So this is one of the benefits of living in Florida. We have the great University of Florida as a state university. And with me right now is Brooke Moffis. She is an extension agent too, Master of Sciences. Her residential horticultural is her specialty. Good afternoon, Brooke. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Teresa?
I'm doing good. You were going to be here last week. I hope everything's okay.
Yes, everything's fine.
Life happens, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, I am so glad you're here today. And, you know, why I'm bringing you on is because we're starting to get people to know a little bit more about their landscapes and to recognize symptoms. And Central Florida soils, it's time for the vegetable gardens and growing seeds and flowers. And sometimes we get pest issues. What exactly are nematodes?
So nematodes can be can be really hard for the home vegetable gardener to control. They are microscopic roundworms. You're not going to see them with your eye. They are actually these tiny little roundworms that are under pressure, almost like a water balloon. If you were to actually be able to take and squeeze them, you would pop them.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, but they're so tiny, we can't even do that. So,
yeah, that's good. I don't want to encourage that.
Right.
And so they're little tiny worms, and are they good or are they bad?
They're both, or they can be one or the other. So there are nematodes that are plant parasitic, and those are the ones that make us scratch our head to try to figure out how to control them in the vegetable garden.
Okay.
And then there are other nematodes that are good, and the reason they're good is because they prey upon those harmful nematodes.
Oh, so they attack the bad ones.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And all nematodes have a mouth part that's called a stylet, and it's actually like a hypodermic needle, and it functions much in the same way. So if you're a predatory nematode, you would find that harmful nematode, and you would stick your mouth part in it and suck all the contents out.
So, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of icky.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Okay. So there are the good ones. And so can you have both in the same landscape?
You sure can. You definitely can. And actually, one thing that I would encourage people to do is to add as much organic matter, as much compost as possible, with the hopes that we have some good nematode populations in there to help suppress the bad.
Okay, so having a raised bed of vegetables is good.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so because you're not going to see the bad ones as much because of the organic material.
You know, nematodes actually travel very, very slowly, and the only way they can travel is through soil moisture. So, but it doesn't take much moisture for them to be able to travel. So if you start with a raised bed, if it is sealed off, in theory, you wouldn't get nematodes.
Okay.
You know, unless you planted something that maybe had nematodes on it.
Or in the root system.
But if you do a raised bed and the bottom is empty, so there's contact with the ground.
Yeah.
It could take 3, 4, 5 years, but you could eventually get nematodes.
Okay. So would it be a good idea then to change out the soil every so often or to just line the bed?
You know, you could line the bed. That would be more preventative for that.
Okay.
Line the bottom of the bed. Now, I would not change out the soil unless you see that you have a nematode problem.
Okay. And how do we do that? What are the symptoms of seeing, or what do nematodes actually do to plants?
Okay, so what they do is they actually can feed on the plant roots, and there are two different types of nematodes that can do this. There are those that can live on the outside of the root, and there are those that can live on the inside of the root. The ones that live on the inside of the root are like root knot nematode, which so many are, of us are familiar with.
Sure. They're easy to see in the roots.
Yes. And that's one of the things. If you start to see a lot of wilting, a lot of stunting, you've had this problem in your vegetable garden for years, you've tried everything else, check out those roots and see if it may be root knot nematode. And you'll just see that the roots look unthrifty.
Yeah.
They will be stunted. They'll be galled. But root knot is really one of the only nematodes that we see here in Central Florida that does all that galling to the roots.
Okay.
Now, there are other nematodes that can stunt the roots.
Okay.
But,
and those would be the ones we'd see, like, in turf.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. And so what do they do to the turf? What do the bad nematodes?
Okay. So we do get nematodes in turf. You're exactly right, Teresa. And what they will do is most of those are what we call ectoparasites, meaning they feed from the outside. So it will make it look like the roots have just been cropped off about an inch. So your roots are going to be short and stunted, and sometimes you'll see some rotting going on there, too, with your turf.
Okay. And we see that a lot in soils that are very sandy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like in the Claremont area, Groveland area, those areas where, you know, in the Tavares where it's really swamp and mucky, and the lakeshore areas, we wouldn't see them as much. But in the dry, sandy soils, we do.
It does seem like nematodes do perform better in sandy soils, or at least they can move around very, very easily in sandy soils. You won't see as many nematodes, or at least some of the plant parasitic ones, in clay soils.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the advantages of having clay, but, you know, so one
okay.
of the only ones
so
I can think of.
So when we say see, we're not saying we don't see the actual worm, we don't see the nematodes, but we see their symptoms.
Symptoms, yes, which is, again, stunting, yellowing, thinning out. And, again, nematodes take sometimes years to really impact plants. So in turf, if you think you might have nematodes, the best thing you can do is actually send a sample to the lab at UF, because to be honest with you, I can't even see them here at our extension office. I just don't have that kind of magnification.
Okay, so even the microscope, you can't see it.
Correct. Not with what we have here. So you actually need to send them to the University of Florida lab. However, we can look at the roots, and if they're really stunted and galling, and it sounds like you're watering correctly, and it sounds like you're doing everything else correctly, that's when we would say, yeah, you should send it off to UF and let's get it checked.
It's a good assumption. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about that. Okay, so what would somebody do if they wanted to send a sample off to the University of Florida?
Okay, so they actually have to get a form, and they can visit us here at the Extension office on Woodley Road here in Tavares, and we can get that form to them. You can also find it online. If you type in UF nematode assay, ASSAY, you can pull up the form.
Okay.
So you could do that versus coming to visit us, which we'd love to see you. But anyway.
Sure, sure.
Right, right.
And that can be done anywhere across the country, too. All extension offices can send off samples to their state university?
You know, I can't say that every state has one, but, you know, definitely if you're in the state of Florida, the University of Florida has a nematode assay lab.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And how much does it cost?
It is a little expensive, or you know, it may seem a little expensive. It's $40.
Okay.
But, you know, you're really only going to have to do that once to see that it's problematic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brooke, can you stay with us through the break?
And sure.
I just have a few more questions. Okay, that would be great. Okay, so what kind of symptoms for turf should you be looking for if you think that you may have nematodes?
Again, yellowing, thinning. Really, it's looking at the root system, though, so you want to take up a small section of it and see if the roots are really, really stunted. You know, you've had that turf installed, and it's just the roots have not knit in, you know? You
okay.
can almost, like, peel it off in a sense.
Okay, and then for other vegetables and for the root knot nematodes, what are they looking for?
So you want to look for roots that just look very gnarly. A healthy root system is very fibrous. You'll see a lot of white roots.
White roots, yeah, very
like
fine.
Some light brown roots, but when you start to see them look very gnarled and maybe you only see four or five roots coming off of that plant and it's thick and just knotted looking, that's a really good sign that you have root knot nematode.
Excellent. Thank you. We are listening to Brooke Moffis, you know, give us all the education we have on nematodes. It is a big plant problem and turf problem here in Central Florida. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Your Backyard on Real Country AM 790 WLBE.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
Hi, this is Teresa Watkins, host of In Your Backyard Gardening Show, heard Tuesdays at 12 p.m. on My 790 AM. When I need gardening supplies, I stop by Simon Seeds in Leesburg. Simon Seeds Nursery has everything you need to make your yard beautiful and the garden productive, from seeds and plants to organic products and Sunnyland fertilizers. Blondine can help you grow your plants like a pro. Make your landscape the envy of your neighborhood. Visit Simon Seeds at 105 West Magnolia in downtown Leesburg, or call Blondine at 787-4415 and be on the way to the yard you've always dreamed of. Sunnyland Professional and All-Natural Fertilizers is what Florida lawns and gardens require to keep them healthy, green, and growing. For over a century, Sunnyland has been your hometown team, making fertilizers in Florida specifically for our sandy soil conditions. You can purchase Sunnyland products, Right Green, Professional, and All-Natural Fertilizers at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. When you're looking for fertilizer for your lawn and garden, put your trust in Sunnyland. Sunnyland, keeping Florida green since 1884. And we're back with more of In Your Backyard. We are talking with Extension Agent Brooke Moffis from the Lake County Extension Office, and her specialty is residential horticulture, and she's filling us in on all the nematode issues that we see here in Florida. And Brooke, thank you for staying on through the break. Now, are there such things as nematode-resistant plants?
There are, and actually, if you have problems with nematodes or you've had it in the past, you can get seed packets that say N on them. So when you're looking in the on the seed packet, you'll often see V, F, and or N on the top right corner.
Right, and what does that stand for?
So the V stands for verticillium wilt. The F stands for fusarium wilt. And I know these sound like, you know, these are scientific terms here, but those are both fungus.
Yes, they're both names of funguses that are prominent with that plant.
Right, and then the N stands for nematode. So you, if you're growing from seed, try to find seed that has the N on the package.
Okay.
That means nematode resistant.
And that's worldwide on seed packets. So that's really very, very helpful when you're looking for seeds to put into your yard. Now, okay, so now how does that work? How do the plants resist the nematodes, or why can't the nematodes attack those plants?
So when the nematodes actually feed on the roots, they start to gall the roots, they start to form something called a nurse cell, which is just abnormal growth, lots of plant juices in that area, and that helps supply food to the female nematodes that are doing the feeding. So on one that is nematode resistant, when those nematodes feed, they don't form those nurse cells, or if they do, they're very small.
That is so cool.
It is.
I love science.
Yes. And so it, in essence, starves the female nematode.
Okay, great. So definitely, if you've grown plants before that have gotten nematodes, you want to look for nematode-resistant varieties. Well, that's very helpful. But so nematodes aren't caused by overwatering. They're not caused by over-fertilizing, but they're just necessarily the soil. Tell us what homeowners should do to prevent nematodes.
Well, so they're not caused by any of those things. But if you try to keep your plants as healthy as possible by fertilizing appropriately, watering appropriately, it can help your plant actually tolerate nematodes.
Okay.
So that's one of the things we recommend. It's like if you're having nematode problems, you know, there are a couple things that a certified pest control person could spray on your lawn. You would have to hire a professional to do this. But an even better alternative is let's just get your turf grass healthy.
Sure.
As healthy as possible so that it can tolerate nematodes. Because we have nematodes, quite honestly, throughout most of our soils. I bet every single person listening today, including myself, has some parasitic nematodes.
There you go.
Fall.
Yes, be proud of your nematodes. Yeah. Shout it out.
Yeah, diversity, right? So anyhow, so it's really just keeping your plants as healthy as possible. Now, in the home vegetable garden, one thing you can do is you can take the summer off from vegetable gardening because, you know, really it's so hot in the summer anyway, and there's just a handful of veggies that really thrive in our really hot, humid summers.
Yes, yes.
But take the summer off, and what you're going to do is you are going to solarize. And that's where we take clear plastic. We lay it. First of all, you're going to wet the soil, not saturate it, but wet the soil. You're going to lay plastic down. Then you're going to put some bricks on top of that plastic, just in a few places, and then lay another layer of clear plastic down. It's very important it's clear. What you're trying to do is you're trying to cook the top few inches of soil.
And that's easy to do here in Florida with that plastic.
Yes, in our really sunny days. You know, I've actually heard something recently. I would always recommend that people do it in the heat of the summer. But we get cloudy and we get afternoon showers. So now the recommendation is actually leaning towards the beginning of summer, like maybe even late spring, late April, early May, when we start to get hot and we don't get all the cloudy days.
Yes, because we're starting into our really dry part of the wintertime and
right.
spring season. Okay, so how long should they leave that on for?
You want to leave it about 6 weeks.
Okay.
And, you know, one thing that's nice about it is it's also going to really cook a lot of your weed seeds, too. And so if you've had weed problems, it can really help you get a grasp on that. Now, the downside is it's not discriminate. So you're going to cook your good nematodes as well.
Yeah. So you're going to get rid of some of the beneficial bugs. But it's a good thing to do maybe every few years or so just to make sure
yeah.
you've gotten it all taken away. And you can just even put a sign out there saying, I'm cooking. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
explain to the neighbors what that plastic's doing in your yard.
Right.
Well, that's great. Now, Lake County Master Gardeners are having a really big event coming up this month. What is it?
It is our annual plant sale, and if you have never been, it is so worthwhile. We just have so many unusual plants. We offer them at really inexpensive prices because it's a fundraiser for us. And so it's March 23rd, and it's from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Right.
Here at Discovery Gardens at Tavares.
And it goes very quickly. People start lining up at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
They do. I call it the Black Friday of plant sales.
That's true, because, I mean, people get really good deals, plus the different varieties, and it helps out the Master Gardener Clinic and the Master Gardener Society, so it's a really good deal. I'm
okay.
going to be there, and so I'm going to help sell plants. And
wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Brooke, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about nematodes. I do appreciate it. It's something that we need to look for.
Yeah, there's a whole world in your soil, so it's
There you go. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I love Brooke. She is just fascinating, and her background is insects, so she loves talking about that. And so these worms, the microscopic nematodes, you know, you want to just look for it, and maybe if you've tried solutions for everything else and you're watering correctly and fertilizing correctly and your plants are still dying, that may be the reason. So you want to check it out. Contact the extension office in Lake County or whatever county you're in. Your extension office will have information about that easy for you, and they can send that to you. So right now, this is the time of the year that, you know, again, go ahead and make sure that you're taking care of your turf before the heat of the summertime. You want to apply the fertilizers and the herbicides and pesticides before the heat of the summer. Herbicides you should not apply when temperatures are over 85 degrees. Now, the reason why is that the weeds are stronger than you think, and they're going to withstand that herbicide while your lawn is not. Your lawn is going to decline if you're putting the herbicides on it when the temperatures are over 85, 90, 95 degrees, and it's not a good thing. So this is the time of the year you're going to want to do all of that kind of lawn care treatment, fertilizing, herbicide treatments if necessary, especially if you have weeds. And here's a real big tip. If you have a weed issue and the weeds are blooming, you do not want to compost or mulch those weeds back into your lawn. So if you have a mulching mower and you have a weed problem, bag your clippings. Throw your clippings away. Do not put them right back in the soil, because those seeds are going to go right back in, and they're going to pop up even more next year during the season that's appropriate for them. So bag your clippings if you have weeds. And that's what we have to recommend too. If you have a landscape maintenance company, if you have weeds and you're using a landscape maintenance company, ask them to bag your clippings. And so I don't know whether that's going to get a laugh or not, but you're going to want to make that recommendation. Also, too, again, never mow your lawns when they are wet. And also, make sure you are sharpening your lawnmower blades every 5 mowings. That means landscape maintenance companies, every 5th house, they need to stop and sharpen their lawnmower blades. Don't think that's getting done right now either. So what kind of herbs can you be planting? This is a great time of the year for herbs. Basil, bay laurel, borage, cardamom, chervil, chives. The chives are doing so well. You know what? They're growing in my landscape bed, and they're growing on their own. The seeds planted themselves. Don't you wish everything just planted themselves and just took care of themselves? And then coriander, dill, fennel. I bought some fennel this week and some dill. Ginger. Would you like to grow some ginger? All you need to do is go to the store and in the vegetable section, buy a few pieces of ginger and plant them, and you'll get a ginger plant. Isn't that incredible? Also, lemon balm, sweet marjoram, Mexican tarragon, mint, oregano, rosemary, or rosemary's going crazy, sage, thyme, and watercress. This weekend at the Sweetwater Oaks 14th Annual Garden Fair, I bought thyme, I bought oregano, I bought dark opal basil. This is basil that is really a very purplish, dark burgundy color. And then I bought the fennel. And what else did I get? I got some thyme. I think that's it. If that was 6, if you were counting, if that's 6, that's what I got. Oh, and sage. I got sage. Oh, it looks so beautiful. You know, sage in your garden, it kind of reminds me of lamb's ears, and it looks great. So this is a time of the year to go ahead and visit your garden center, visit Simon Seeds, visit Lucas Nursery in Oviedo, and also Appenberry's in Orlando, and check out the wonderful plants and vegetables and shrubs and flowers that they have. This is the time of the year to do all the gardening that you've always wanted to do. Temperatures are a little cooler. It's not going to be the heat of the summertime. And you know what? You get all the best plants. They're bringing them in this month. So you're going to want to do that. If you missed the show or want to hear past shows, you can go to my podcast, which is on my website, she-consulting.com, and go to the page and where it says more at the top of the page, click on it, and you'll see In Your Backyard Garden Show. And on that page, you can listen to the past shows and hear the interviews and hear all the tips from the last shows. And, you know, I'm more than happy to, recommend those. Just go listen to the podcast. Even if you missed some of today's shows, I'm going to be uploading it later on this afternoon, and you can hear it tonight. If you would like to subscribe to my newsletter, go to my website, www.she-consulting.com, my monthly newsletter. You can go and subscribe to that, and save. I don't sell my newsletter lists. I don't sell my emails. So you're going to be very safe, and I'm not going to spam you. I'm only going to send you one newsletter a month. Okay. Even if you beg for more, I'm only going to send you one newsletter a month. If you'd like to come with me to Buffalo, New York, to the largest garden walk in the United States, we are going July 18th through the 21st. You can find more information about that on my website as well. And we are going to have a great time. We're going to have lunch or dinner overlooking Niagara Falls. We are going to go to a Frank Lloyd Wright house, and we're going to visit the most amazing gardens you ever want to see with tropical plants. All of the gardens up there that you'll see, you can probably grow here in Florida. It's a great trip to get some inspiration, to have a lot of fun. And we're staying at the Westin Hotel, so it's going to be a first-class trip. Even if you live in another state up north and you're not here in Florida during the summertime, you'll be able to come from where you are, join our group. The group size is limited. It's very private, and we're only taking a few, and it's filling up very quickly. I'm just very happy to say we're going to go with a bunch of great people. So that's the Garden Walk Buffalo Tour. Check it out on my website too as well. Remember, water's not only your right, it's your responsibility. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the